It is so good to be all together today. And I appreciate everyone working with us through these last 3 weeks of different schedules. I know that's thrown a few of us off, but I really do appreciate that. And I appreciate today, everyone, again, being on something different. Our scripture today comes from the Gospel according to Mark, the very first chapter, verses 4 through 11. I'm going to be reading from the Message translation, but I invite you to use whatever text you brought with you, whether in written form, electronic form, or the text there in the pew. Let us hear the ancient words of our faith. John the Baptizer appeared in the wild, preaching a baptism of life change that leads to forgiveness of sins. People thronged to him from Judea and Jerusalem, and as they confessed their sins, were baptized by him in the Jordan River into a changed life. John wore a camel hair habit, tied at the waist with a leather belt. He ate locust and wild fennel honey. As he preached, he said, "The real action comes next. The star in this drama, to whom I'm mere stagehand, will change your life. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. His baptism, a holy baptism by the Holy Spirit, will change you from the inside out." At this time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. The moment he came out of the water, he saw the sky split open and God's Spirit, looking like a dove, come down on him, along with the Spirit of voice, "You are my son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life." For the word of God in Scripture, the word of God in us, for the word of God with us, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me, please? Holy Spirit, descend on us here today. Descend, break in, into our world, into our busy lives, into our lives in a way that you've never broken into our lives before. Help us to understand who we are in you, who we are together, and who you are calling us to be in this new life. As we move through this service, Lord, and partake of your sacraments, may it be more than ritual. May it be a living, breathing moment of grace. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Make us new. In Christ's name, amen. Today we begin a new series called This Is Us. And today it's Who Are We? I don't know about you, but I've become a bit enthralled in this TV series. It's kind of a water cooler series. If you don't watch the TV drama, it's about a family, the Pearson family, and their struggles. Some background. The Pearsons were expecting triplets, and on the day in which the babies were born, two survived and one did not. And of course, there was sadness and joy. Joy of the two and sadness over the one that did not survive. There's that famous speech there about when life gives you lemons, how you turn it into a moment of grace. And the father goes to the nursery, and on the very same day that his children are born, there is a baby who's been abandoned, an African-American baby, who has no one to claim him, no one to call him their own. And he convinces the mother this should be their baby too. So they adopt that child and raise him as part of the triplets. And the show was all about identity and the typical things of family, of financial crisis and addiction and body image and who they are as a family and all the struggles of growing up and all the struggles of relationships that are whole and relationships that are broken. And within this captivating series, before too long, you find yourself in that story. Somewhere in the midst of this messiness of family, you get drawn in. You find out that maybe your story is somewhere in the midst of their story. And that's why it's titled, This Is Us. And I thought as I was looking at it, you know, it sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? We have mess, do we not? We have drama. Did y'all have drama over the holidays? Oh, we did. Yeah. Holidays always bring out the best, don't they? You got that crazy cousin? Yeah, it always shows up. Yeah, y'all put a name on it. And it pulls us into, the show pulls us into what does it mean in the 21st century America to be family. So that's what I was thinking about as my writing friends and I began to pull this series together. What does it mean to be a family in today's culture? And what does it mean to be a family of faith in today's culture? I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like in our culture, it doesn't value families of faith the way it used to. Or it's a real struggle to be a person of faith in today's world. And we can't do it alone. So as we go through this series, we're going to explore those questions of who are we? And what does it mean to be us? In the gospel lesson that we read, it's a familiar one. In fact, I preached on it during Advent. But I want us to look at it in a different way. Mark is a funny gospel. It's the shortest, the earliest written, and it doesn't start out with the warm, fuzzy little baby. Mark just jumps on in with the adult Jesus. But Jesus identifies with us, I think, the most in this story. Jesus comes to the water to identify with us. We don't necessarily, Mark says we don't necessarily need to know about his birth. We just need to know about who he is as a man. He comes to the water to his cousin John. Now, John is interesting. He'd fit right in at Berkeley. Yeah, you have to be my age to understand that reference. Those who are younger, I'll explain it later, you know, to you. But Jesus comes to the water to see the spectacle of his cousin. And I think he stood there for a little bit and watched what was going on. He who had no sin stood there and watched. And he got in line with us. He didn't need to be baptized, but he got in line with us. And that's always puzzled me. Why did he get in line? And I think Christ got in line, one, to show us our need for baptism, but I think he got in line to identify with us, to say, within this moment, I am one of you. I am going to understand your pain and your joy and your mess. I'm going to understand who you are, and I want you to understand that I am here with you. Oh, he could have stood there smug-like on the shore, right? In fact, he could have pushed John out of the way and started baptizing himself right there. But instead, he got in line and submitted to the baptism. And God anointed that sacrament and said to him, "You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." The love of my life. I love the way Peterson translates that. The love of my life. The love of my life because you identified with my creation. The love of my life because you chose to come to my creation. The love of my life because you're going to take on their pain, because you are going to walk with them, because you're going to feed them, because you're going to clothe them, because you're going to heal them, because you're going to make them understand how much I love them. That is a miracle, if you ask me, that the King of Heaven would give all that up for us. That he would get in line with us to say, "I am with you." That is amazing, is it not? And every day of our lives, Jesus is identifying with us. He is willing to walk the pathways with us to say to us, "We are not alone." That you do not need to worry about being abandoned. That you do not need to worry about being misunderstood. That in your grief and in your pain and in your dancing moments and in your joy, in the times when the night is long or when the day is bright, Jesus says, "I am here. I identify with you. You are mine." That is a wondrous act of grace. And every time we come to the water, as one is brought to the water and claimed by the waters of baptism, over and over again, we can remember that and we can relive that. And that's why it's important for us as a family of faith at least once a year to come together and reclaim those vows and say, "I come back to them. I remember. I receive again the miracle of grace." And then we get to identify with Christ at the table. Table fellowship is so wonderful, is it not? Did you over the holidays have a chance to sit around the table and laugh? I got to sit at several tables. I was invited to some and then at family, and we told some funny things on each other. Oh my goodness. Did you not? I got to be with friends where we laughed at some of the strange things people did. I won't tell y'all about them because I want to go back to that table. My brother and I told things on each other. I hope my niece never talks about those things. Yeah. And it's wonderful to sit at table with food and to laugh and to share stories. Isn't that how you learn about who you are as a family? As you tell these stories around the table. And you eat way too much, right? Yeah. And we all made the resolution this past week about we're not going to eat like that anymore, right? And that's going to last about, what, 2 weeks from today? Yeah. Gym memberships just went up like crazy. Yeah. But at the table, at this table, we can identify with Christ. When he takes the bread, which is found in every culture, some kind of bread is found. It always has been found. We understand that, do we not? We understand a need for sustenance. We understand the need of hunger. We understand the need of thirst. We can identify with that. And we can identify with the fact that he took the bread and he breaks it and he says, "This is my body." There's something visual, something visceral about that moment during the communion liturgy. And when the cup is lifted, we're reminded of how he was lifted up. We identify with that moment. We can identify with the fact that Christ gave himself up for us. And we can identify with the fact that we need continual nourishment, continual coming to the table. And we can identify with the fact that there are those who do not have tables, who do not have food, or those who've been excluded from tables for various reasons. We can identify with this Christ who fed thousands, who left no one out. We can identify with the grace that is abundant and never ending at the table. It makes sense for us at the table. We can identify with a table that's overflowing, particularly here in the South, can we not? Yeah, with chicken and turnip greens and all that good stuff, yeah. We can identify with Christ at the table. So what do we do about this? You see, we're called to do two things. We are called to be broken bread and poured out cup, but we're also called to be invitational. We are constantly called to invite people to the water, into a relationship, through the way we live, the decisions that we make, through how we interact with people. We're called to invite them to the Christ of the river and the Christ of the table. We're called to live in a way in which the world can understand these two great moments in our life as a family. We're called to embody, to incarnate the table and the water. We're called to remember that we're people who are baptized and fed. And we're called to share that every day. That's who we are. A baptized priesthood and fed disciples. And we're called to leave this place today ready to walk in that grace, ready to live our lives in a way that the hungry, hurting world will want a share of that. Amen.